Testament, we're going to be reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. The topic tonight is Who Desires? We Know the Will of God. And it's based on Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We're going to find out as we read this that Paul prayed continually for the Colossians, and Paul's desire was that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And number two, that they all, with all the wisdom that they had, that they could put to work, that they would put that wisdom to work to understand the will that God has for them. And number three, that their spiritual being would be totally consumed by that will. Again, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, says, We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Ephesus, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath transformed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You know, my dad, he made sure that his children fully understood, and for that matter, that we fully appreciated his will, his demand for us as his children. And we understood it fully. And we knew what it might mean if we didn't walk within his will while we were at home. We did things his way. God wants us. He wants us, his children, to fully understand his will and to walk by that will. Now, as our good Father, and God certainly is our good Father, he gave his only begotten Son, and he bought, and he has a will for us to live in this life. And we have to do our best to understand that will. If you would, if you want to, I'm going to read over in 1 Timothy, the first four verses of chapter 2. Chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good, is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And then over in John, the 7th chapter, over in John the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So we know that God desires that we know his will. We know that Jesus came, and we know that Jesus taught God's will. We know that Paul wanted everyone to know and understand God's will. Now, you and I today, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to encourage each other to know and fully understand and live by God's will. You and I have a goal. Our goal is to get to heaven. Our goal is to help each other get to heaven. Our goal is to help everyone else that we can to get to heaven. And each of us, each and every Christian, we live our lives as ministers. I didn't say we were all preachers. We're everyone ministers. Because we everyone have an example to set. We everyone come in contact with other people. And by the way that we live our lives and the way that people see that we live our lives, we're going to encourage them. And we certainly want everyone to know God's will. We want everyone to know God's will and to live by that will. Now, I'm gonna go through some things, and I don't know that this is exactly what was wanted, probably not. But it's from God's Word, and the greatest preacher of all time brought it to us. If you want to know God's will for each and every one of us, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 every day of your life. This is something to me. I spend lots of time on these three chapters in the book. And it tells me an awfully lot of what God expects out of me, his son. Paul wrote in Colossians 1, verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be fulfilled with," number one, "the knowledge of his will. And number two, that you do that and with all the wisdom that you have. And number three, that with all of that, with all the spiritual understanding that we have." So if we're looking for God's will for us, his children, where do we go for the most concise look for God's will that we can go? Where do we go? I don't believe we can go anywhere else in the Bible. I don't believe we can go anywhere else and find a sermon that is so concise and tells us exactly what God expects out of you and me. I don't believe we can. So where do we get the best overview? Yes, we get it from God's Word. And to me, the quickest way that I can go through it is going through some of the Sermon on the Mount and kind of summarizing what it means to each and every one of us. And because of the time constraints that we have, we're going to break this down into a few categories. And we're going to look at some things, and I may finish early, or I may, at the end, actually wish I had more time. I don't know. But we're going to kind of summarize some things. Number one, what are you and I about when it comes to God's will? It's about an example and the importance of that example to others. If you got your Bibles, I'm going to be staying in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And I don't have time to go through everything in here and try to talk about each thing that's in here. But in Matthew 5, verse 16, to kind of get away, early in chapter 5, we're told what our character is. So we know what our character is. We've accepted that. We have become obedient children of God. In verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See your good works. See the will of God coming out in us. Seeing Jesus Christ as he lives deep within us, and that knowledge that we have, it shows up in how we live our lives. And other people can see that. Number two, it's about our secret lives. It's not just about how we appear to other people. It's also about our secret lives. Verse 20, same chapter. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." It's not about how I live 1 second here and 1 second there. It's not the impression that I just leave on somebody, that it's about how I live my life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every week, every day. Do I make mistakes? Do you make mistakes? Yes. But as we make mistakes, we do our dead level best to make up for them. I've told this before, but I've had to go back and apologize to people. I've done things that are wrong. I got aggravated with a little girl in McDonald's one day. The little girl was wrong. I had to go back in the store, though. I got to my car and I said, "Man, what a terrible example." Just showing any kind of anger. I went back in there and I pleaded for her forgiveness because I was wrong. Number three, it's about our relationships. The will of God is about our relationships too. It's about our relationships. If you go to that same chapter, chapter 5, beginning verse 22, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, and shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thy fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Then come and offer. It's about how we treat other people. I say this all the time. This has always stuck with me. Heard a guy say this once, and it just rings a bell over and over in my ear. It's not how someone else treats me that I've got to worry about. You don't have to think a whole lot of me if I'm doing what's right. There's nothing powerful about me. There's nothing significant about me. I am a creation of God's, and that's significant. But it's about how I treat other people. I've got to be very concerned about how I treat you. If I don't treat you right, I am wrong. Otherwise, I need to worry very much so about how I think about you and how I treat you. And it better be within the will of God. Number four, all of this goes way beyond our actions. It's not just about what I do. It's not just about what people see. It goes way beyond our actions. Verses 27 and 28, chapter 5. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, this is one little thing, but it's a whole lot more and a whole lot deeper. This is an attitude. This is a mindset. This is something that has overtaken you and me. It's more than just our actions. It's the whole makeup of who we are and what drives us to be who we are. Number five, it's about an extra effort. God's will is that I put forth every effort that I can. I don't have to be anywhere near as good as somebody else. I have to do the best that I can within the will of God. That's what I have to do. So it's about an extra effort. Verse 41 and 42, same chapter 5. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, give to him that asketh thee, and from the him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. It's an extra effort on our part. Number 6, it's about an unnatural love. We have an unnatural love for other people. God's love for us goes so far beyond what we can imagine and we can really and truthfully see, because it's just so difficult on us to understand the love that he has. And we're to have that unnatural love. Verse 43 and 44. Verse 43 and 44. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisively use you and persecute you. It's a special love. It is an unnatural love. It goes way beyond. We're talking about loving everyone, no matter how they treat us. Number 7, it's not about self. This is living within the will of God is not about self. Chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. For thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. It's not about ourselves. Number 8, it's about our focus. It's about our focus, and that focus is heavenward, and it's to God. Verse 19 of that same chapter. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. It is number 9. It's about faith that reaches way beyond what our normal human understanding is. We do it the best that we can, and we do it God's way, his way, not our way, and we leave the rest to God. Verse 24 and 25 of that same chapter, chapter 6. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body. What ye shall put on is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Number 10, it's about self-examination, folks, looking within ourselves too. We need to look within ourselves. Chapter 7, verses 1, 2, 3. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Folks, we need to look within ourselves to make sure that we indeed are doing the very best that we can to live the will of God. Now I'm going to conclude with two things. Going to take a little bit more time. I'm going to conclude with the detail of two portions of this Sermon on the Mount. Verse 12. We call this the golden rule. And if you talk to the people on the street, they will take this and they will say this is the whole thing of the whole Bible to them. I've had people talk to me that I have talked to that said this is all you need to do. But it does hit us as Christians that we need to pay attention to it for sure and for certain. We are obedient children of God. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You notice that Jesus begins chapter 7 with judge not. That's the way he begins. Judge not that ye be not judged. Now what's he talking about? Well, the golden rule is, if we want to refer to it that way, it's still dealing with judgment. It's still dealing with judgment. It's dealing with judgment of others, judgment of self. The golden rule is really about doing God's will, about living the Christian life in everything that we do as we deal with others. Because we live our lives the same way that Jesus Christ lived his life. We have one example, and that example is Jesus Christ. So as we live this life, we try to live it just like Jesus Christ lived his life. Try to react to people the same way that he did. So it's not about self. It is about God, and it is about others. So what are the things that help and encourage each of us? You ever think about that? When you say things to other people, when you think things about other people, do you think in terms of, is that hurtful or is that helpful? When we talk about things, you know, gossip is when we do things and say things about folks that's not helpful in any way. We should always aim to be helpful. If we're trying to help the situation, and we're very careful about how we deal with other people to encourage them to do what's right in God's sight, to do God's will. So what are the things that we want for ourselves? What are the things that we want? Other people want the same kinds of things. They want to be treated with respect. And that's the way we want to treat people, the way that best reflects the will of God. Christ says this is the law and the prophets. Put another way, this is a summary of much that's already been said. Much that's already been said. It's not just a rule, folks. It is the spirit behind the rule. The will of God is a spirit behind our actions. And it's his way and not our way. It's a spiritual thing, a spirit behind all action. The spirit behind love your neighbor the spirit behind love your enemy, the spirit that is behind all the relationships that we have and how we think. Everyone, we value our own lives. We should value other people's lives. Our attitude is such that we value other people's lives. And our practices show that we value other people's lives. And it's not about us being praised in any way. The golden rule really is an expression of character and the will of God. And it is something that we need to pay attention to, because God gave his son for the very worst of the worst. God gave his son for the very worst of the worst. And our love and the value that we have should not be self-centered. God's love is certainly not self-centered. We have to love, or we should love, the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Starts with God. Notice that. This is the key. Everything that we do starts with God and what he wants us to do. Everything. Christ says, in effect, look at others in the same light that I have looked at you. I looked at you. I think all the time, I don't know if you do or not, but I think I can just see now Jesus saying, but he needs me to go to the cross. And if anybody ever did, but he did. We're the messengers. And by our understanding, by godly thoughts, godly attitudes, godly responses, and godly actions, people are going to see the will of God. I want us to pay strict attention to this, and then we'll close. This is the end of chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. I think this is one of the biggest warnings to us anywhere in the Bible. A huge warning for us. If we go right up above this, in verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's right before he says this. Beginning in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I don't think there's any doubt that the Sermon on the Mount, Christ ordered it himself. There's nothing accidental about it. There's nothing accidental about how it's arranged. And without a doubt, this comes at the end. And I think that's a great lesson to us. We have seen throughout this what the expectations are, and we haven't gone over everything, but what the expectations are of us as Christian people. Now look what this is saying to us. There's two men. There's two houses. I visualize this sometimes. The only way that I can understand things is I sit and I try to come up with a visual way of doing things. It's just my way of learning. And I can just kind of visualize driving down a street, because you drive down the streets, and if you notice the way the houses are built, many of the houses look just the same. You might see two houses next door to each other, and you can't tell a bit of the difference from the house outside. Now, if you go inside the house, I'm sure you'd see a difference. But outside the house, they look identical. You can't tell any difference. And here's these two houses, and they look very good from the outside. Must be about the same, but they aren't. They aren't the same. They're very different. One is built totally on a different attitude, with a different inner spirit, a different way of leading their lives. One is very different, but they look very closely. If you see them today, you might think they're just fine. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." One has a will of God foundation built underneath it. That's the way it lives. One does not have that will of God foundation. It's lost. It won't make it through the hard times. Let's don't fool ourselves. Let's understand with all of our wisdom the will of God. Let's live that will. Let's think with that will. Let's have the attitude of that will. Let us teach others the will of God. Let us have love and heart and attitude of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you a story that I've told before. This is the way I kind of look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, because it goes a much different from the way natural man seems to think. We don't seem to have the same attitude about people that don't like us. And there are people that's not going to like us for whatever reason, and hopefully it's not for good reason. I hope in my case it's not, but I know we're not all loved the same way, and that's okay. But I read a story one time about two brothers. One of the brothers was handicapped, severely handicapped, and they went camping, all of them together, the brothers and some other friends. The other friends didn't want Tommy to go with them because of his handicap and how he would hurt their camping trip. On the way back, Tommy was tired, and his brother had to carry him back. And as he was carrying him back, the other boys said, we'll relieve you. You don't have to carry Tommy all the way. And he said, no, that's fine. He's my brother. He ain't heavy. That's the way we are if we're living God's will and we look at Jesus Christ and we deny ourselves and we look to the cross. It ain't that hard to do. In fact, it's the most abundant life that we can have. I have no idea if this hits anything, but at least it's a lesson from the Word of God. I appreciate your attention. If you got anything you'd like to say, you're welcome to do it. Thank you all.